You're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Bum, 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 bum. Ba-na-na.
This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Disney World. Was Disney World. I'm going to Disney World.
Going to Disney, bitches.
See you, motherfuckers. I'm going to Disney. Some Mickey Mouse and shit.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck.
Shit.
There we go. Recap.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was on my way to the stop button too.
Ooh, just missed that. Let's see here.
Just a screenshot.
Let's see here.
Oh.
Beer.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 49 for Monday, January 15th, 2018.
This week on the Two Bobs, we have a great episode. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking. Robert has a confession.
We've got a scary and annoying phone call to share. We'll cover some of the ways that beer has changed history. And this week we've got another double dose of crazy news stories.
We'll also cover some of the beer history.
You guys are probably the coolest Bobs of all the Bobs.
How's it going?
Ready for the weekend. Got a nice long weekend celebrating MLK this weekend. How about you?
I have a nice long weekend to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but I'm extending that. Well, so I'm off next week, but I'm not because, you know, we have MLK on Monday. Tuesday, I'm taking off because, and then Wednesday through Saturday, I'm out of town. So I'm kind of off, but I'm also doing a lot of work stuff and meetings and stuff like that while I'm out of town. So it'll be a fun but kind of productive week.
Yeah, you'll be away, I think, out of the daily grind. And while you'll miss the kids and the misses, I think it'll be a nice little getaway and finding, maybe meeting some people that you haven't met or haven't seen in a long time. So should be good.
There's actually there's going to be a bunch of people there who I know, who I haven't seen in a long time, who have just moved to other states or relocated and things like that. So, you know, I'll be able to reconnect, but mostly I'll be able to drink.
Well, that's good. Will that be covered by the company or will that be covered by you?
Some of it. Work sponsored events. You know, I think we have drink tokens, and I think they give you two drink tokens and then... and then from there, it's, you know, trying to figure out who has extra drink tokens. So
there's always somebody who doesn't drink anything. You got to find them early and just kind of make the fist bump and say, hey, yeah, I got your tokens.
Maybe I should hold a sign up that says sell your drink tokens here for $1. And like,
it's worth it.
$10, 10 drink tokens. Still way cheaper than the bar.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, since you'll be gone next week, we won't be having an episode. So this is episode 49. We will be skipping a week and then coming back the following week for episode 50. So you'll have a little break from us and we'll have a little break. We're not going to be
from
doing
you. Oh, sorry. I thought that's... Oh,
you thought your microphone was on mute, but it wasn't.
No, damn it.
Too bad. You got to learn how to work that shit. So we're not going to do the best of like we have in the past. We'll just go ahead and leave it and save up some of those for another time. But we'll be back again for episode 50 and we've got some special stuff planned, don't we?
We do. And so, you know, we're excited. I'm excited about it. I think you're excited. You look excited about it. So it'll be fun because, it's, you know, again, it's the big 50 for us. We've been doing this for over a year now. Like you said, we have some cool stuff planned. So it's kind of nice because, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So next week you'll miss us. But then the following week, we got a bunch going on. We're actually going to be going live again.
Facebook Live.
So look for... We're going to be recording the episode live on Facebook Live on Thursday, January 25th, right around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you don't follow us already on Facebook, go ahead and do that. We're at Two Bobs Podcast on Facebook. Join up, look for us then. We'll be posting more about it, and you'll see links and things like that. But it's a lot of fun. You know, we did it a couple weeks ago. We had a lot of our a lot of great listeners, and you know, elderly listener popped in, and some other people popped in and kind of chatted and joked around, and we kind of made it interactive. So it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of great feedback. So we're excited about doing it for episode 50. And please join us again. That's Thursday the 25th at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, and we will actually have, which we didn't last time, because I think we were just kind of trying to figure out how well it was going to work. So we didn't put up a little like coming soon or starting little countdown or anything like that to let everybody know. So we'll do that. And again, as Rob said, through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those things that we have, we will make sure that everybody's aware. And we're also going to try something we haven't done in the past. Normally we ask for voicemails or texts, and we'll have the phones open. So you can use the 530-882-BOBS number, 530-882-2627, and call during that time. Because we will be trying to get through a few things. I can't guarantee it's going to be open the entire time, but we will make that announcement. So if you are listening live or just want to try it, we'll try to get other people on the air. And again, don't be shy. We certainly are not professionals, and our voices are not something. Well, maybe they are something that you paid for, but at the end of the day, we do like to hear everybody, and your voice is going to sound like it's coming through the phone anyway. So no worries there, and hopefully you give it a shot, and let's talk.
We're Phil Donahue in this shit.
We're going to try a few things, and there might be, I'm not quite sure what else yet, but I think for 50, we want to jazz it up a little bit. Not put all our eggs in one basket, because when we get to 100, we won't want to know what to do, but anyhow, we're looking to do some fun stuff.
That we are. Let's get into beer.
I love beer, and this is fun, too.
Hey!
Smells like breakfast in here.
I'm excited about mine.
I am. Yours looks delicious. And you had me at peanut butter, so I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's similar to one that I had in the past, and I'll cover that in a little bit. But what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Southern Tier Imperial Cinnamon Roll Ale with notes of cinnamon and vanilla. So you had something. You had the chocolate from Southern Tier a couple weeks ago. Or was it last week? No, a couple weeks ago. And it seemed really good. And I saw this at one of my places that I buy beer from, and it looked really good. And so I picked it up. Actually, Kelly noticed it first, and then I went, of course, and grabbed it. So this is an Imperial Ale. It's 8.6% alcohol by volume. And it says the scent of our brewery on brew days is irresistible, akin to the morning's first brewed batch of perfectly roasted coffee. The aromas envelope you, envelope fuck the aromas. The aromas envelope you. Damn it! With
fuck.
The wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. All right. Akin to the morning's first brewed batch of perfectly roasted coffee, the aromas envelop you and cause the corners of your lips to curl into the slightest unconscious smile. In this brew, lightly toasted malts with subtly spicy hops blend into cinnamon flavors and creamy lactose sugar. Their coalescence is so uncannily close to fresh baked cinnamon rolls that it was impossible to name this beer anything other than Cinnamon Roll Imperial Ale. Pairs perfectly with Eggs Benedict at brunch after dinner, or next to the fire, or recording a podcast.
Oh, nice.
Doesn't say that.
Completely mentioned this.
It says, or recording the Two Bobs, episode 49. This is available in 12-ounce bottles, also in a 4-pack. You can get it draft someplace in the world. I took a sip of it, and I don't know if I tasted beer. I tasted just like cinnamon. It was very, very potent cinnamon. As I was pouring it, I could already smell the cinnamon and the vanilla. So wow. It has some very strong flavors. I mean, they say the notes of cinnamon and vanilla. There's a fuck ton of cinnamon and vanilla in this. I'm going to try it again. So now that I've had a few minutes to kind of digest that first sip, I'm going to try some more here and just make sure it's as good as it was the first time I sipped it.
Now, I'm writing down fuck ton of cinnamon, and I don't know if that makes it as the show title this week, but it'll be up there in the running. Of course, it'll be censored for the children out there.
This is really good.
So a 3, then. You won't buy it again?
No, no. It's I rated it a 4 on Untappd. I might have to go back and actually up that a little bit.
Is it good enough that you're going to want to drink more than one at a time? Like, you would buy a 4-pack and sit down with it? Or is it good that you're happy you're having it and you'll probably have another one at another time? But
it is. It's like that. And it's, that's kind of, first off, it's seasonal. I mean, it really, this is a winter beer. You can't get it all year round. For me, and just like most beers that are just very flavorful and very sweet, it's kind of one of those, like, you can't really binge drink this beer. This is a beer you just, you taste and you enjoy it for the flavors, and you have one and then you move on to something else. So this is a very casual beer for me, but it really, really is good. If you like cinnamon rolls and you like beer, you should probably try this, because again, I mean, just the cinnamon roll presence in this beer, it's like,
hold it up to the camera.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably smell it from here.
I'm scratching my screen and I don't,
it's like they just mashed up cinnamon roll and put it in there. I mean, it's like pureed into the beer. It's really, really flavorful. They hit this spot on. If they were going for, we want this beer to taste like a fucking cinnamon roll, they've done it very successfully.
I was trying to think. I'm thinking of all the different flavors that I've had from them, but Southern Tier has kind of had some of the more unique ones, like that chocolate that I had. Another one that I had a while back, and I didn't have it on the show, but I had it out on draft, and I tried to find bottles to have it on the show, but it was called Thick Mint, and it tastes a lot like a thin mint cookie. So it had the chocolate, had the peppermint, and that was really good. So they seem to be kind of in that niche-y beer, and they've had other ones too, and then I think kind of like Founders, and what's the other one that you've been having the last couple of weeks that you like?
Dark Horse. Wait,
Dark. Yeah, was it Dark Horse? Is that the one that you've had a lot of beers from lately that just seem to be really good?
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at my wall here.
We have so many. Yeah.
Dark Horse to me can do no wrong when it comes to beer. And that's right. I had the Trace Blueberry. You've had a couple. I had that, and then I had the Thirsty Trout a couple weeks ago. Their Raspberry Ale is still one of my favorites. They make a lot of good beer.
Well, that's kind of how Southern Tier is for me, where they've got just a lot of really cool beers. And I think that Thick Mint or the chocolate, that I've got another 4-pack up in the refrigerator, but they're really good, and they have not been disappointing at all. So I think I might have to try to see if I can find that, because I've got a seasonal as well. So I might have to be back there at the store, although Melissa did tell me that I have a little bit too much beer in the refrigerator. So
tell her that, you know what?
It's for the show.
The beer fridge is your domain. Why is she even?
Yeah, don't even look in there.
She shouldn't have been going down there.
Well,
Kelly knows not to touch my fridge. No, she just doesn't. To be honest with you,
He-Man Woman Haters Club sign on the front of it. Keep out. But I've got something. I could have sworn that I had the partner to this on the show, but I know we talked about it. But this is the Duclaw Brewing Company, for Pete's sake. And it's an Imperial Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter. And I had before their Sweet Baby Jesus, which was their chocolate peanut butter porter. But this is their Imperial. So it's the Imperial version of it. And it's the chocolate peanut butter porter, 9% alcohol by volume, 45 IBUs. The website says the chocolate peanut butter porter that raises the bar again with its silky full body, big roasted malt flavor and aroma dominated by rich notes of peanut butter and chocolate. Subtle fruit and coffee notes, and a strong, warming 9% alcohol by volume. For Pete's sake, it's a whole new level of chocolate peanut butter porter, and it definitely has that Imperial. And it does; it is warming. You feel the 9% kind of going through you as you drink it, and you taste a lot like a peanut butter cup. You do taste the chocolate and peanut butter kind of at the same time. The IBUs are there too, so it's not quite as smooth as some of the other ones that I've had lately, but it's good, and I think I got it in a 6-pack, 12-ounce bottle draft. It's also a limited release, but I don't know for how long. I rated it a 3.75 on Untappd. It's good. I'll probably know a little bit later on whether I change that to a 4 or not. So If you follow me on Untappd, you'll see, and I'll try to remember to change it on the show if it does seem to kind of either go up or a little bit down. But I like it a lot. I don't know whether it's really that much better than the other, but I think I'm going to enjoy the rest of this one, no problem.
I've had the Sweet Baby Jesus, and when over the summer I was down in Myrtle Beach, and we went to this tap room, and they happened to have it. And I distinctively remember you having it, because as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, I got to get that, because I remember Robert having it. But I think you had it somewhere, you checked in on Untappd. Mm-hmm. I don't think you had it on the show, though, but it was pretty damn good, to be honest with you. So, but anyway, you mentioned Untappd.
And I love Untappd.
Untappd is great. It's a social network. It's the Facebook of beer drinkers. And it's a great tool to be able to find, local favorite beers in your area. If there's something we're talking about, you're like, damn, that tastes really good. I want some cinnamon roll, imperial ale in my life. You can look it and see, look it up and see if you can find it in your area. But anyway, you can find me on Untappd, which is UNTAPPD at Phil Roberts 33. And where are you at?
I'm at Robert K 328.
Nice. So, do you have something to confess?
I do. And you asked me earlier if you knew what confession was. And I was thinking,
put shit in our lineup and I have no idea what it is.
Well, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to forget it. This is confession time. The thing.
I'm trying to remember, I'm thinking, fuck, am I supposed to know what to do here?
Are you supposed to apologize to me?
You throw wrenches and I'm like, God, I'm sure there's something I could confess, but I just can't think of anything right now. But
well, then I guess you're really not sorry for what you did to upset me that you need to confess.
Guess I'm a better person than you are, because apparently you have some skeletons in your closet you need to release here.
Well, and I think our friend, one of our listeners, Lori, kind of alluded to it a little bit. But last week we had a bit of a spirited debate, and the episode came out Monday. I think it was Wednesday by the time Melissa got to it. And I think I actually even noticed it the next day. Just kind of going through a drawer and pulling some tape out. But I was pretty adamant about the look of Scotch tape and how it was clear. And in my mind's eye, I had a different tape altogether that was there, and it was not the Scotch tape. So I think through editing or at some point, it just kind of dawned on me, well, shit, the Scotch tape that I have is translucent. It's not completely clear. There's a magic tape, I guess. And maybe the dollar store brand is absolutely clear, but I realized, well, shit, the tape isn't clear like I thought. So I had myself confused. And as I do, once I harp on something and I latch onto it that somebody's wrong, or there's just no, as you could tell last week, there's no denying me. So I kind of just, like I said, let me have this. And that was one of those moments. So I was incorrect. Melissa told me, and then Lori got all with her link to Wikipedia or whatever the fuck she put up there about how Scotch tape is with some, I don't even want to read it because it's upsetting. But I was incorrect. So I'm here to confess that sin that I should have been a little bit more open to maybe you knowing what you're talking about. And that's very difficult for me to do. So,
well,
I got three quarters of a beer in me now, so I can do it. That's why I moved confession. I don't know if you noticed it, but I moved it all up and down the lineup throughout the week as I had it on there. So I decided to just get it out of the way so I wouldn't have to stress about it.
Well, and if you didn't listen to last week's episode, which is episode 48.
Asshole.
You should have. How dare you? But B is one of the funniest moments of the episode where Robert just... he starts talking about this tape like it's like this big, like it's not in every single convenience store and drugstore and grocery store that's in retailer.
No, it's clear.
I got this tape.
No, I tell you, man, once I get a hold of it, that's the end.
Oh my God, man. And I'm listening to that. I remember last week, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're like, that's called Scotch tape.
It's fucking Scotch tape. So, well, good. And I'm glad. And also, you probably realize now, like, when you wrap a present with it, once you stick it to the wrapping paper, it does turn clear. You can't see the tape.
But there's a completely different tape that I had in my head.
I know what tape you're talking about with the clear tape, because they do, 3M does make a crystal clear,
it's like tape. Glossy. But, yeah.
Yeah, like a glossy tape.
A magic tape, as Lori posted. But
the magic tape by their Scotch line of products is pretty popular.
Well, I'll be using that from now on. And I almost ordered the Amazon Spot or Echo Spot or whatever the hell it was.
You had it in your cart.
I had it in my cart and I moved it out. I couldn't justify it. I think what happened was I snooze from time to time. And if Melissa is still asleep, it's just easy for me to just tap the button to snooze and it goes 8-9 minutes, whatever. And I'm sure there's a way to snooze on that one. I don't use it often because once the alarm goes up, I have to get up.
Yeah, me too.
But every now and then I do snooze once or twice.
I have it shut off on my phone.
Yeah. I don't want to have to tell it Siri snooze or Alexa snooze or whatever the hell it is. Minerals. So I left it out. I'll save the $130. Maybe wait a little bit. And knowing me, much like the tape where I won't admit I'm wrong, I'll probably will just end up buying it to see. I don't know. But anyhow, that's my confession.
I'll probably get drunk in the airport and buy it for $100 more than the retail price at one of the shops.
At a little kiosk. Like a little Best Buy thing. People buying Beats out of the kiosk there in the waiting lounge.
You got an Echo Spot for only $250? Let me get two of them. That's a great deal.
I bought it at 7-Eleven.
Fuck.
Well, we had a little bit of a surprise this week.
We do. You know, every week we tell people to call the fucking number. They don't, because you all fail us. But constantly. One person who's been gone for a while decided to make a reappearance, and we're pretty excited.
We are excited. And I think either he had a little bit of phone trouble or he might have been drinking himself, but
maybe
I'll play the I'll play the first one now. I missed him.
I did too.
Hello.
I think that was him listening to last week's episode, probably. Hello. Probably the tape part two, and he just had nowhere to go. But I guess that not to be deterred, he decided to call us back and left a little bit more.
He's a persistent little fucker, isn't he?
Hello, gentlemen. Do you wonder why? Because nobody gets to hear me unless I speak directly to them. We're going to have a little chat soon, gentlemen. We're going to have to talk almost ear to ear.
Goodbye.
Phenomenal.
That was Scary Caller this week. I don't know what the hell he said. I heard the talk ear to ear and have a little chat, gentleman or whatever. I don't quite know what he said at the beginning, and Google Translate basically said there is no translation for it, so kind of at our mercy.
It was probably not any official language.
it was a mixture of Pig Latin and Ooby Dooby.
Oh man, that's funny. So I mean, it's been a while since he's been around, so it's great to hear from Scary Caller again. If you've just recently started listening to the Two Bobs, you're probably thinking, you know, who the fuck is this guy? He's one of our fans out there. We don't know who he is, but regardless, he's a lot of fun, and he's left us some of the craziest voicemails I've ever heard, and so we're excited to maybe when we're recording episode 50, he'll call in for us.
And that was part of the reason for, I guess, getting out there that we were going to do it. So maybe he will call in. We'll have to see. But as luck would have it, in the last couple of weeks, you've had the IRS call you. And I had a little bit of a fun time with a phone caller as well. And I think I sent it to you.
You did.
And then you got on me because, you work in finance and you know all about these people. But
we can elaborate. You're gonna, on that.
All right. Well, I'll play the message and then we'll let everybody decipher it.
You have one old message. Sunday, 3:14 p.m.
Hello, how are you? This is Anna, and I'm calling from the Healthcare Enrollment Center in regards to your inquiry for health insurance. Now, we know there has been a lot of confusion with all the changes happening with healthcare, and we are here to help you. So I just have a few quick questions, and then I'll get you right over to an insurance specialist. Sweet. So let's just start with an easy one. Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
No.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you clearly. Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage? Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
No.
Thank you for your time, and have a nice day.
Goodbye.
End of messages.
Yeah, so I'm in the other room, and I hear it, and it's on a line that we don't ever answer because it's always just those kind of calls, but we have it just in case. I mean, it's through our internet provider, and it's cheaper to have it than not, so we leave it in there. So we get some gems every now and then, and there's all kinds of calls, but that one was kind of funny. I was in the other room, and I know for sure nobody was on it. I was the only one home, but they kept asking the question, so it really kind of led me to wonder what it was, and I sent it on over to you.
Yeah, so I guess the main question is here, are you looking for affordable health care? Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
Why, yes, I am. Thank you. Enjoy my crowd.
Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
So the joke with the whole thing with me working in finance earlier is you had mentioned that it was a yes scam.
Yes.
And then I made a joke like, well, aren't all the scammers trying to get you to say yes? I knew what a yes scam was. And then you posted a link to,
Magic Tape.
FCC or you posted an article to explain what a yes scam is, which if you're listening and wondering what the fuck a yes scam is, what it is it's essentially what they're doing is they're trying to get you to say yes. They're recording your voice saying yes. So that way, if they're calling, for instance, they're calling your credit card company or authorizing charges on your card, they have a voice recording of you saying yes. And a lot of institutions, including the institution I work for, are starting to institute voice recognition technology to not only are they verifying who you are by having you answer questions or input information or things like that to authenticate yourself, but they're also listening to your voice and helping to understand if that's actually you on the other line. So anyway, it was pretty funny nonetheless. And if you're looking for affordable insurance coverage, make sure you wait for her to call, and they'll take care of you.
Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
I have a keyboard shortcut that does that, by the way. I don't know if you noticed how many times I sent it over to
you. You sent it to me like 50 times over the last couple of days. I'll look at my phone. I'm at work and I'm on the phone with a client or something like that. And I just see, Robert,
are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, the fact that she asked it three times and initially I just couldn't figure out why.
And then pretended like you answered and she couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. So yeah, the yes scam, don't say yes to anybody on the phone, especially if it's something like that. Just do your own research. Don't buy any shit off anybody on the phone because it's probably a scam.
It probably is.
That's our PSA for the week, by the way.
Yeah, no, do yourself a favor and just... And another PSA that I have is if it sounds like it's too good to be true, it probably is, and you're probably getting scammed. That's the number one thing, too. Like, you know, there's these lottery scams and stuff, and people come in. When I worked, in the front part of the bank, we'll call it, where, you know, just where people go to deposit money and things like that. It was, you know, people come up with these lottery checks. So, hey, this guy said I won the lottery. And I'm like, did he also say that you needed to deposit that and then send him a check for taxes? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, did you play a lottery? Did you play a sweepstakes? No, I didn't. No. Then how could you have won one? So, but anyway, so I'm still drinking this beer. It's really good.
I just started my second one. It might be the fact that I'm already done with it and I got through my confession. We heard from Scary Caller, but I'm feeling pretty good and I might have to move it up. I might have to move it up to four.
Oh, that's good.
It's a little bit stronger than I think you would like. Melissa, I think she had the other one and she liked it, but
it's like women at the bar, you know, they start moving up in numbers as you have more beer. This beer that I'm drinking is really good, but I don't know how it would taste in the shower.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm kind of surprised at this. And I think maybe for younger folks that tend to go out more, this might make a little bit more sense because I'm trying to think,
damn,
why would I drink a beer in the shower But evidently this brewery here in, what is it, Sweden, it's pretty popular, and they've designed a beer specifically for drinking in the shower, and I guess it's before you go out, not before you go to work.
Yeah, it's like a warm-up beer, right? Well, so, and I have drank beer in the shower before, I guess. Yeah. I should say, like, you know, if, like, for instance, if we're on vacation or we're at the beach or something like that, like, and I've already had maybe a beer or two or 10 or however many, and I, you know, I need to take a shower, maybe I bring the beer with me into the shower, and, you know, it's a little something fun that I do for myself for once in a while. I don't make a point. I don't get up for work in the morning and, like, grab a beer and take that into the shower. But if I did, it's great to know that there is a... I couldn't even get through my sentence. But if I did, it'd be great to know if there is a beer that's specifically designed for me to be able to drink in the shower. And that's exactly this. So the name of the beer here is...
Looks like just shower beer.
Shower beer. And it was brewed at the Swedish Pang Pang Brewery. It's sweet, strong ale that comes in 18
colliders. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. It's like CL 6 ounces. Bottle. So it's a smaller bottle,
yeah,
which is good because you're not going to be in the shower that long to drink a big 12 one. And then you'll slip and fall and crack your head open.
Yeah, so it's designed to be downed in 3 sips while enjoying a shower ahead of a busy night ahead. So it's you know, again, it's a warm-up beer. There's just enough alcohol in it where maybe you feel just a little bit from it. You know, just little tingles and stuff. And, you know, soap suds and beers, tingles everywhere.
Yeah, it says it's sweet. I guess a lot like a summer beer or a winter beer where you kind of have the taste of the season in a way. Maybe this is one of those where the hot shower opened your pores, and I don't know, maybe the scent of it and the taste of it really is magnified by being in the shower. The one part that makes me a little bit nervous is that it's a glass bottle. It's not plastic.
Why does that make you nervous?
What if you drop it? You're in the shower and you drop it on there, and you're walking around in bare feet. You drop it in the shower, you drop it on the floor, in the bathroom, anywhere. The glass is dangerous. So I don't have glass bottles at sporting events. People throw that shit.
They should put a suction cup on the bottom of it.
Well, they have those a lot, like the dip clip. They have little wine glass things you stick on the inside of the shower that hold your glass or hold, I don't know. I've had coffee, not really in the shower, but I set it out there next to it, and I'll open the door and take a sip of coffee in there. But I haven't had a beer in the shower. I don't like going to the beach. You get sand everywhere.
Yeah, we discussed this. You hate beaches. Okay, yeah, so yeah. It says presented on a screen printed pink and brown glass bottle. Shower beer is the sophisticated shower beer fan's choice and has already gone down a storm in Sweden, where the first batch of shower beer sold out instantly with another already on the way. So it's being well received. It says the article says we do a lot of sauna bathing in Sweden. And most of the time, we drink beer while doing it. Happens every time that someone walks out to have a shower with a beer in their hand. That's really how it happened for us the first time. So this is the creators of the shower beer. I mean, I think it's kind of a cool thing. It's just, again, it's kind of designed just to take a few sips of it, just to get the warm and fuzzies while you're in the shower.
Well, the funny thing is, and now that I've done a little bit of research to see if this is available in the U.S., I come across a Lifehacker article, and I want to say that I read this before, but the title of it is Why You Need to Start Drinking in the Shower, and it's perfect for a late evening roller derby practice when you come home sweaty and exhausted, you need a hot shower and a cold beer. My beer usually comes in bottles. You open the bottle before heading in the shower and just set it on the ledge, like where you put your shampoo, maybe a soap dish, tall beer can might be an option. So it seems like it's, I guess, a bit more of a thing than this old fart is ever even understood until you sent it to me. So
I really feel like you should try it.
Next episode, I'm going to be in the shower while I drink the beer.
I'm going to put a beer fridge in the bathroom now.
You should.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? It's just another.
It's another way beer has changed us.
The history of beer and the history of the world.
Did you know that beer was the foundation of civilization?
No. Please explain. Can you explain that?
It was originally theorized that migratory humans settled to harvest grain from which bread was made. Segways are hard, but you sent me this link that the Times beer changed history, because I'm trying to think about how people drink in the shower and why we drink and really where it came from. I tend to think that far back, like why words are created and why things are. But in 2300 BC, beer was used as currency.
See?
It's often cited the first legal code in history dates back to 2300 BC, and that beer is prescribed as a central unit of payment and penance for civilization.
I mean, I'd still be okay with beer being used as a currency. There's a lot of things I would do for some beer.
Now, what would you not do for beer? Is that more of an open-ended question than what you would do?
Oh, man.
Which is the harder one?
You know what? This is the rabbit hole I don't want to go down tonight.
I was just testing you. Seeing how many ABV was in that one.
I want to kill somebody for a beer. Maybe they tried to take my beer, but no. But you know, speaking of other ways that beer has changed history, they built the pyramids. I don't know if you knew about this.
There's beer bottles hidden inside. There's some Bud Light blue cans inside the walls of the pyramid.
These fuckers were drinking PBR while they were building these pyramids. That's pyramids. Without beer, we wouldn't have one of the seven wonders of the ancient world still standing. As it turns out, Egyptians used beer as medicine and currency for those who built the pyramids. Writing a Smithsonian magazine, Dr. Patrick McGovern explains that beer was of utmost importance. It was a source of nutrition, obviously. Refreshment and reward for all the hard work. It was beer for pay. You would have had a rebellion on your hands if they'd run out. The beer pyramids. The pyramids.
I got a beer pyramid on my back wall here.
It might not have been built if there hadn't been enough beer.
It's crazy. Drinking beer saved humanity in the Middle Ages.
Of course.
There's a time when drinking beer kept you alive, much like this show. In the Middle Ages, water sources were full of disease, much like this show, and drinking contaminated water was sure bring on Giardia. She's that cooking lady. I'm not allowed to watch that show either. As the brewing process...
She's got some boobs.
She's got some... She does. But that's why I can't watch it. As the brewing process for beer involved boiling water, then fermentation... Giardia, though.
Jarda.
Who would you do for a beer? But I'm going to edit this out. The final product was free of bacteria. That's why in the 16th century, annual beer consumption in Britain was 530 pints for every man, woman, and child. So much like you going to this little event, you got to start, you know, taking away the tokens. So you're going to have to go around to the kids and take away their tokens.
I don't know too many kids that work for my firm, but you know.
Well, it says every man, woman, and child, 530 pints.
All the children we have working for the firm and are going on the top producers trip. Sure. So midwives use beer for labor pains in medieval Europe. Are you gonna edit out the boobs? Is that what you said? I don't know. I feel like that needs to stay.
I'll leave it in there.
Yeah, just don't
fucking until I come down from these two for Pete's sake and think otherwise.
Don't tread on me. Medieval Europe wasn't a particularly fun place. It was dirty, stank, and full of disease and such. Childbirth, especially labor pains, were brutal, exacerbated by squalid conditions and ignorance in which many women lived. So they gave beer to their patients. Because many of the water sources were contaminated, so they drank beer, and it helped take the edge off of the child that was being birthed out of their vaginal canals.
Well, being Polish, I'm glad I read this one, but Poland had a beer war in 1380, and I don't even know how to say this word, but the beer war was a Cold War waged in the Polish city of, I don't know how to read that either, of... Now, Wrocław, beginning in 1380.
Wrocław. Sorry.
Something like that. The war started because both the city council and the church sought profit from the beer sales. Standoff between the mayor and the bishop became so intense when the king visited the city in 1831, he found the bishop had shut down all religious services. King's troops proceeded to sack every religious site in the city. Intervention from the Pope was required to get them back under control. So I always assume that Jesus turned water into wine, but maybe he turned water into beer.
If you could either be invisible or fly, which one would you do?
Ever since being a kid, I've always wanted to fly.
Kind of me too, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like invisibility would get me in trouble.
Well, maybe think of all the things you could do when you're invisible. You could do it visibly and then just fly away.
Yeah, that's right. Wear a Trump costume and just
costume.
You're fired and then it's gone. Was that Trump? I don't know. Maybe it was. Beer shortage forced the pilgrims ashore early, by the way.
So they
it wasn't the need to get out the fucking boats. It was that they were out of beer and they needed to, hey, maybe those guys with the feathers on their heads have beer. The pilgrims were initially headed to Virginia to start their lives in the New World. That plan fell apart, however, because the Mayflower was running low on beer. The journey across the Atlantic had taken longer than expected, and Captain Jones, commander of the Mayflower, needed to get ships ashore as quickly as possible so they could get their fucking beer. Yep, there it is. Oh, at Plymouth Rock, then they happened upon Squanto, a Native American who had been to England and back and spoke English. So Squanto was a Native American who had been to England and back, and he didn't tell anybody, hey, by the way, there's this fucking country on the other side of the world. By the way, the planet's not flat, it's round. And we sailed across the ocean to another land that, by the way, is ours. So you should have been like, hey, listen, that's ours. And we got
took forever.
We got fucking nukes and stuff over there. So stay the fuck away.
Dinosaurs.
See, they could have really played this differently. Squanto really is the reason why all of the Native Americans have led oppressed lives for the last 500-600 years. Because Squanto, while he was over in England, could have come up with something to keep people from trying to tread across the ocean and invade their land, and said no. What did he do? He pussied out. He just went, learned how to speak English, went back, didn't apparently fucking tell anybody, hey, by the way, I'm going back over to my homeland over on the other side, and therefore a 1,000 miles over or a couple hundred miles over to Spain, where Columbus was, and they had no fucking clue. They thought they were coming across someplace new, and then Christopher Columbus lands at Plymouth Rock, like, Squanto, what the fuck are you doing over here, dude? Like, this could have been a lot better. I blame Squanto for everything.
And this is why we don't have a random Monday off for Squanto.
There's no Squanto day.
No. Yeah, they get there, and he said, hey, I thought you said there were going to be girls.
Where? I don't see any titties anywhere.
No, National Geographic came out much later.
Oh, that's Africa.
So we'll post the link in there. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Beer flood killed 8 people in London.
It inspired the American Revolution.
Yeah, probably.
We've broken free from Great Britain because of beer.
Every time I drink beer, my wig gets fucking hot.
Yeah, well, I told you to leave the Quaker party.
Chicago beer wars. Now, if you had to, I had this for a, seeing this Chicago beer wars of 1923 had me thinking, and I had a whole segment about it, but I didn't never think it would work. But if you had a time machine and you could go back to any point in time or forward, and forward is kind of tricky because we don't really know what's ahead of there. And if you've read The Stand or seen any of that, we really don't know what it is. But if you could have a time machine and go anywhere, where would it be?
Oh, man, that's rough.
Or would you just say, I'm fine here? That's okay, too.
I mean, I like current times, but I'd probably go back 100 years and bring all my cool shit and gadgets with me and then just convince everybody I was God. Give me all your beer.
Well, that's how
I have an iPhone. I can't talk to anybody. There's no connection.
Right. It won't work. There's no towers or anything. But that's how a lot of that 11/22/63, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago with the Stephen King book. He was able to go back and forth through time. So he was able to bring a lot of things back and forth and tried not to do too much of that. But Anyhow, I won't spoil the story, but there's a certain danger to that.
There is. There was a show. What was the show called? I started watching it and I fell out of love with it. It was on like last year where there was this crew of people that could go back in time during certain times and were stopping. Like there were these like time terrorists or something and they were going back and they were trying to stop all these events from happening to alter history. And then there were these other like good people who would go back and try to stop them from changing the history and stuff like that. It was cool, a lot like that.
They kind of jump around and
yeah. I mean, it was cool for a minute, but then I was like, all right, this is
it gets to be too much.
Yeah, it's too much. Too much out there. Well, I like realism in my television.
Yeah, Melissa always says she'd like to go back, and a lot of times she thinks she was born in the wrong time. She likes the older type things, and seeing this 1923 is really kind of what triggered that. But I don't know if she or anybody else could really go back then, because even though it wasn't really that long ago, less than 100 years, things were very different, particularly for women back then. And I think even for guys, but I think she kind of likes that period of time where guys wore hats and suits all the time and shit were probably a lot nicer than they are today. And people just had manners and you had dancing and bobby socks and all that crap. But I'd probably try the future just to see what it was like. It'd be a bit more of a gamble than going back where you know what happened and you know what it was like. But I'd be curious to see whether we do have flying cars or jetpacks or any of that Jetson stuff that we figured would come at the year 2000 that we never got.
If I could go anywhere, I'd go in the future like 5 years and like see what new technologies there are and things like that, and then come back here and file patents for all shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 5 years is probably good. Not going forth like 25 years.
I get utility patents on every fucking new thing that's out there.
That'd be good. 5 years, that's probably safe. Although I don't know if 5 years is going to be good for us.
I don't know. Do you think we'll still be doing this in 5 years?
I hope so.
I don't see why not, right? What if we have a falling out? If we have a falling out, what do you think it's going to be? Why do you think it's going to happen? And when and why?
Well, it could be about any number of things, the way I act sometimes. It'd be tape. I just latch on to stuff.
See, one of your pig-headed things that just, yeah, you know you're wrong, those, but refuse to admit it.
I know Melissa will say, no, you don't do that. No, you never have any of those moments. Everything's fine. I don't think there'd be, I think between the two of us, we're both laid back enough to know. And being guys, we're just, whatever. He was being a dick that day, but today's a new day. I don't think between the two of us, because even you've said, hey, you'll know if I'm mad at you. And I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You would know it and it would be over. I mean, it'd have to be really bad for it to be a falling out, I think, between the two of us.
Probably.
Based on how our personalities are.
I'm not a fan of falling out with people, things. So I think we're good.
We're good. But you know what I am a fan of?
Crazy news.
Where does that crazy news take us this week?
So this week's crazy news takes us to Florida. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to give Florida a ride. Like, I mean, let's admit it. They're the worst state when it comes to crazy news. But this week, it takes us to North Dakota, where a man is accused of shoplifting $4,000 in merchandise from Hobby Lobby. And there's a unique twist as well.
It says 22-year-old Minot man faces shoplifting charges accused of putting $4,000 in merchandise in a shopping cart over a 7-hour period. I don't know how he hung out in that store for 7 hours without going crazy, but he was fleeing the store and then running into the parking lot where his cart got stuck in the snow.
First off, isn't it minnow?
I don't know. I'm from here. I don't care. You live closer.
You know what
to
a minnow is, though, right? You have lakes,
but it's not spelled
right?
like that. M I N N O W. This is M I N O T.
Minnow is spelled M I N O T. Right?
No, the minnow, the fish, or the. Yeah, you Google it.
You fucker.
I'm right.
Okay, here we go. Here we go again.
We're gonna have a flyout.
Google this.
Hey, shit. Charlie.
Damn it.
Hey, Charlie, wake up.
Yeah. Things to do in minnow.
Nothing. Minnow. Go to Hobby Lobby, evidently.
Minnow.
Really getting angry.
Fishing in the Mouse River in Minnow, North Dakota. No,
a minnow is M-I-N-N-O-W.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm not going to let this one go. I was wrong about the tape, and I'll admit that. Maybe in 2 weeks we'll have forgotten if I was wrong about this.
Small freshwater fish of the family. Okay, you're right. So what were you saying?
You were saying I was right.
I was saying how you were right. And I admitted that I was wrong directly after. I didn't string this thing out for 7 fucking days. I just came right out and said it.
I wasn't wrong last week. I was wrong the day after.
This guy here, though, he looks like he'd be shoplifting from a fucking Hobby Lobby. First off, who shoplifts for 7 hours?
To get $4,000 worth of shit from Hobby Lobby, it probably takes at least...
How does it take you 7 hours to get $4,000 worth? I mean, everything's like $350. I get it, but... So Dustin Johnson here was arrested in the incident.
He's handsome.
In the Ward County Jail, awaiting his first appearance in court. May not. Police said Hobby Lobby employees reported the male shoplifter about 7 p.m. Wednesday night, January 3rd, while attempting to flee with the shopping cart filled with the merchandise. Johnson's car became stuck in the snow and overturned in a parking lot. Police said the man then tripped and fell, abandoned the cart and merchandise, and fled on foot. So not only did it take 7 hours to steal $4,000 worth of shit from fucking Hobby Lobby, but then he lost all of it.
Because he fell down, and the officers actually were able to find him. Because when he fell, his wallet came out of his pants with his ID with a photo on it matching the description of the shoplifting suspect. They went to his home, where, of course, Dustin Johnson was sitting, and they were able to arrest him.
He was probably there looking for his wallet. Have you guys seen my fucking wallet? I checked under the couches.
Let me retrace my steps. Where have I been all day? And I just Googled it, and it's Minnow.
Minnow.
With the emphasis on no.
Yeah.
But I'll call it Minot because I'm right.
Minot, North Dakota. I mean, there's probably like 10 people that live in Minnow, North Dakota. I doubt any of them listen to the Two Bobs. I mean, they should.
They pump their own gas.
They do. They do pump their own gas. Fuck that guy from Oregon, by the way. There's this internet troll that was all over Twitter and just giving
us took a lashing
this week. I shot back, though. I fired back.
He was just grouchy. So, Dustin Johnson, I hope you get what's coming to you, and yeah, find some other things to do with your time.
You should get a face transplant, too. What the hell is wrong with him?
Get a He's fucking making haircut. It to the show. A haircut. The two bald guys tell him to get a haircut.
Yeah, he looks like an ugly Michael Jackson. He does. He looks like Michael Jackson has been beat. That was like beat by a hammer a couple months ago, and like his face never went back the way it was.
I don't like his smirk. No, the way he's looking at me. He's making it into the show art this week. By the way,
he has this like look on his face, like I like to rob Hobby Lobbies. I don't know.
Nothing else to do. I like to do this one because I'm hungry. I didn't really have any dinner. I had a little bit of toast. I just wasn't that hungry. Then I came back and had some crackers. I'm really in the mood for what this next fellow here was out ordering when he got in trouble.
According to the DailyMail.com, a driver was arrested for drunk driving after taking his tractor into town in a bid to get late night pizza. A tractor driver who was feeling a bit peckish last night had been arrested for drink driving. Drink driving? Drink.
It's from the UK. We don't know what they say.
Yeah, it is dailymail.co.uk. For drunk driving while picking up a pizza, the driver who took the tractor into town to a takeaway. I don't see it. This is the problem with reading stories from British news sources. What's a fucking takeaway? Was arrested on suspicion of drink or drug.
Probably a drive-through, I bet.
So they don't say drunk driving. It's drink driving.
Drink driving and a takeaway, which is the drive-through. This is why I don't know. They say mom, mommy.
Mommy. Mom, where are you?
It says, a social media user claiming to be the man arrested by police has defended himself. Let's be factual. Instead of fiction, you never pulled anyone as the tractor was parked. It wasn't parked illegally or even on the pavement. 50 minutes wait for a pizza and had a drink while waiting. No different than anyone having one while out for a pub meal. The supposed tractor driver went on to claim that he was released without further action. And actually, he ended up leaving a voicemail, too.
You guys are probably the coolest Bobs of all the Bobs.
So anyhow, don't drive your tractor and go to the pub and drink and order pizza. Just have them deliver it to you.
Yeah, drunking and driving. Drinking, drink driving.
Don't ever go to the takeaway while you've been drink driving. No, they'll arrest your bitch ass.
So he goes to the drive-thru with a tractor. There's a picture on there, too. It's just a big fucking tractor just, like, parked on the side of the road. That's hilarious.
Yeah, hungry driver took his tractor into Carlisle last week to pick up a pizza, was arrested by police under the suspicion of drunk or drug driving.
So it says drug driving there.
Interesting. Don't tell us everything.
Interesting. A lot of holes in the story.
You are fake news.
That's right. Trump would not appreciate this.
He's very angry this day. Did you see all the news there? He said about why are we letting people in this from other shithole countries into the U.S.?
No, so I missed. You know, I missed all of Trump's tirades today. Unfortunately.
Yeah, he said the word shithole countries.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What is wrong with him? He's
got to apologize.
President, it's not like he's on a podcast. If you want to go on a podcast, shit, fuck, damn, bitch, whore. Like, I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Fuck.
Yeah, see, exactly. I can say whatever I want.
Bullshit.
I'm not the president of the United States of America on a like news sources. Like, he's basically making people from CNN and other news sources say the word shithole.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Elderly listener understands. She hates Trump, too.
Hopefully she'll call in. You make sure that she knows about it. And again, we'll put the word out soon enough for everybody to know when we're available. We'd like a big turnout. We'd like to look out into a big crowd of people and see names and commenting and helping us derail the show a little bit next August, well, 2 weeks.
She threw a shit fit last time when we did it and didn't tell her.
Why didn't I know?
No, she missed out. You missed out, elder listener. Sorry.
I'd have them wheel me out into the common area, and I could have got on one of the computers.
I talked to her today. She's doing all right.
Did you? She's fine?
She's good. She's, you know, enjoying life in the old folks home.
She had her applesauce.
Yeah. They got a new bird.
Who did? What kind of bird?
Home. I don't know. Probably.
Oh, the home got a bird.
Yeah, a cockatiel or something like that.
And my sister, who is our worst listener, they've got birds over there.
They do?
Yeah, it's like Jumanji. Fucking birds everywhere.
They have birds. Who wants a bird?
Yeah, the bird, then they peck you.
Yeah, fuck birds.
I don't know. She killed a bird one time.
Good.
Yeah, she had a parakeet as a kid, and it got out of the cage, and it went and flew. She's going to be so pissed.
She did it but a favor.
I've had two of these birds. Yeah, well, it she was looking for it, and it evidently flew under the lid of her toy box, and she was distressed at not being able to find it, and she went and sat down on the toy box. You know, it sounded kind of like this.
And glitter shot out from under the toy box. It was great. You know, birds are full of glitter. Try to smash one up and see what happens.
It was a lot like in Dumb and Dumber. It was, hey, pretty poof. Bird, pretty bird.
Yeah, it was like taking
you sold Petey.
It was like ripping open a down pillow. It's feathers.
You sold Petey to the blind kid downstairs.
It was all duct taped up. Oh, man.
Lost another listener this week. Sister. Oh, well, that's all right.
What are you going to do?
Well, that's episode 49.
There it is.
Another
one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. Make sure to come back in 2 weeks, January 25th at 8 p.m. around that time, we will be live, and we're looking forward to hearing from everybody out there. Sure. Bring your friends along. Yeah. Bring whoever you want.
Bring your enemies.
No cover charge.
We don't even care. Bring all the people you hate. I don't care.
People.
We want to see fights. We want to see virtual fist fights while we're recording the podcast. But
we want to look out into the crowd and see just everybody, a big old mosh pit of people.
That's what we want. A smorgasbord of people, per se.
Well, where can people find us while they're waiting for that big event?
They can find us on the interwebs at www.twobobs. No, wait, no. Fuck me.
That would work, too. I bought that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a Hyperleague forwarder there. But www.thetwobobs.com on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. And you can call us at the number 530-882-BOBS. And how is that for people that don't know how to transfer the letters and numbers?
That's 530-882-2627. See you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.